Corinthians chapter number 5, book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 this evening, and we'll look at verse number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we'll be in verse number 11, and I'm going to let you remain seated. We're going to read several passages of scripture tonight, and we'll look at these together and continue our series on My New Life. And last week, we talked specifically about salvation. And that salvation is your passport to heaven. You got to have it to get there. And so we talked about that last week. And we'll continue on in that series tonight and look at another subject from the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them with glory, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In verse number 17, we'll continue to use that as our text. In verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The second thing we'll talk about tonight in this series is this, assurance of your salvation. And assurance of your salvation in the fact that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved. And there's many today that are doubting, struggling Christians. And you must know for sure, and you can know for sure that you are saved. So let's look at this tonight. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for how you spoke to my heart through this passage, through this study. Lord, I pray that you would please help me to relay this truth to your people exactly the way that you have given it to me. Lord, I pray, God, that you would fill both speaker and listener with your spirit, with your touch. God, for we need you. We need your help to even understand your book. And so, God, I pray that you would please enlighten our minds. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hone in on this scripture and in this text, God, so that we can know more about you. And, Lord, each and every person under the sound of my voice can truly have the assurance of their faith. And so, God, I pray, God, that you'd help me to preach this truth the way that you've given it to me. And, Lord, I pray that the truth would lodge in our heart, not on deaf ears. But, Lord, I pray that you'd get the fruit that you desire, Lord, at the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. The only thing more assuring than being saved is knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved. And the old preacher said at one time like this, you can know that you 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 are saved. And I echo the preacher and say, I'm thankful tonight that I know for sure, upon the shadow of a doubt, you can't change my mind, that I am saved. God not only wants us to be saved, he wants us to know without any reservations, without any hesitations, that we indeed are saved. A doubting Christian really is someone that will never advance in their Christian life. It is our whole goal of this series is to get Christians from the beginning of their faith to advance not only on the sincere milk of the Word, but to advance to the meat of the Word and to do something with this new life that God has given us. And many stay right where they're at in desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And not saying that that's not good. Milk is good. But I'm here to tell you, if that's all I had today to eat was milk, I'd be struggling. I'd be in a mess. I'd be looking for something else. And it's fine for a baby, but when it comes down to it, as you grow in your Christian life, you should desire the deeper, more sincere things of the Word of God. John wrote in his epistle in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Christians today that get saved and then they doubt their salvation, that is caused by Satan himself. You see, he is the author of confusion. If he can get a child of God, he knows he can't take him to hell. And so if he can get him doubting his salvation, he knows that that child of God wants nothing for their heavenly Father. Now, there's several things that will cause a child of God to doubt, Satan being one of those, and he'll send all imps of hell into your life to try to cause you to doubt your salvation. Sin also will cause a child of God to doubt their salvation. When they get involved in things and they get away from the Lord, they begin to question their very faith in Christ. And listen, that's so important to realize. That's why it's so important to stay clean before God and to stay close to Him and keep short accounts with your Heavenly Father, because Satan will use sin in your life to hinder you and cause you to doubt your salvation. But also your very self, just your own selfish insecurities. Many times you'll lay asleep at night and say, "Well, I didn't say this in my prayer. I didn't do this when I saved. I didn't do it at an altar. Or maybe I was at my house." Or your own selfish insecurities will cause you to doubt your salvation. But John wrote to believers to help assist them with their growth in the Lord. His purpose in 1 John 5:13 that we just read, his purpose in writing was for them to have confidence and assurance in Christ. This is the very foundation of the victorious Christian life. Salvation, but then assurance of their salvation. That's why it's so vitally important when we deal with someone at an altar and they get saved by the good grace of God, we're excited for them, but we don't leave them right there. We then take them and show them how they can know for sure that when they get up from this altar, when they get away from that back room or wherever they're being dealt with, that they are saved, not because of what they did, but because of what Jesus did for them. And listen, that is the very foundation. And many Christians struggle to live in victory, to live the victorious Christian life, because they never have received the assurance of their salvation. They've saved, but they don't know for sure. They struggle with that. Assurance is the comfort we get in knowing that God keeps His Word. Certainly tonight you can know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. And there's false religions all over the place that teach that this is not the truth. But according to the Word of God, we know for it to be truth. Let me give you several points about this. Number one, notice the guaranteed promise. The guaranteed promise. We must take God at His Word. The Bible tells us that He cannot lie. And therefore, what He says in His Word about salvation and assurance must be true. Listen, I could lie to you. Your family could lie to you. Your friends could lie to you. Your kids could lie to you. But God cannot lie. And we carry into our relationship with God our humanistic relationships, and we think, well, everybody else has done lied to me. God, surely you're going to lie to me. But that's not the case. God cannot lie. And if He has said in His Word that you can know upon the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, then you can take it to the bank. It is a guaranteed promise. It's just as good as taking a cashier's check and taking it and saying, "Hey, cash this. It's guaranteed funds. It's already been verified. It's already been withdrawn from the person's account. It is guaranteed money." And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. You can take it to the bank. It is guaranteed. And the Bible clearly proclaims the promise of eternal life to those who call upon the name of the Lord. Notice, first of all, you must hear the promise. You see, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts chapter number 16 and in verse number 30 and verse number 31, the Philippian jailer said this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then the Apostle Paul said this, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You see, we must hear the promise all throughout the Word of God. Those are just three passages of Scripture that teaches us that if we're saved, then we are also sealed in our Heavenly Father. You see, we must hear the promise, but number two, we must heed the promise. And listen, God did not say that we may be saved. And he didn't say that we might be saved. He didn't even say that we could be saved. He said that we shall be saved. That's why words matter. You get a false Bible, and the words like that are missing, and then you begin to question the very foundation of your faith. You see, that word shall is so vitally important. Listen, I shall be saved. I'm not maybe saved. I'm not might be saved. I could have been saved. I shall be saved. What an absolute and affirmative promise from the Word of God. And listen, we must trust God at His Word. Take it at face value. You cannot trust in how you feel. There's days I don't feel saved. Monday morning, I didn't feel saved. I'll tell you why. Got up real early. Some friends of ours from Elgin, but Luke Putnam, they came down and stayed the night. And my buddy Bike took us fishing over at Shelbyville. So we met at 5. I think I picked them up at 5? Whatever time. And I get them in the, they were going to follow me because they were just going to jump on 57 after we left Shelbyville and head back north. And so I had my coffee in my console. Didn't have it in the cup holder because I have that big Lambert's green mug. You've probably seen it around here. And I had it on the console, and we're turning out of the hotel, and that thing decides to slide and spill all over my passenger seat. Now, if you know anything about me, I'm a little psycho when it comes to cleanliness in my car. And so, obviously, I veer on 51 as I'm turning out of the hotel. And after we got there, and so I'm trying to pick it up, I'm trying to wipe it off while it's still dark outside. I really don't know how bad the damage is because it's dark and all I see is coffee all over my door. And so we get to Shelbyville and I said, "Did y'all see me veer?" They're like, "Yeah, what was going on there?" I said, "I wasn't feeling very saved. Coffee spilled all over my door." So you can't go off of feelings. There's some days you wake up, you don't feel saved. You can't go off of how you think. You must place your trust in Christ, and then believe what He said is true about your salvation. Listen, unlike man, when Christ made a promise, He plans to keep it. He will keep it. He cannot lie. It's a biblical impossibility. And that ought to be something for us tonight to know that I'm saved, not because of anything I've done. All I did was say a prayer and I believe, took God at His word, but He is the one that will follow through with the promise. You see, it's a guaranteed promise. But number two, I find that it's the godly position. Our assurance of salvation can be obtained by understanding the position that we have in Christ. We are saved through our relationship with Jesus. You say, "Well, no duh," but that's very significant. We are saved through our relationship with Christ Jesus. Therefore, as believers, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. You say, "What does that mean?" Jesus made this very clear. Turn with me to John chapter number 15. Book of John chapter number 15. I want you to see this with your eyes. John chapter number 15. He made it very clear of what I in Christ and Christ in me, what does that truly mean? Look at John 15 and look at with me in verse number 4. The Bible says this, John 15 verse number 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." But then he explains that. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Listen, just the other day, yesterday, we had a little bonfire. The sun was shining. We had a little bonfire, and I had Kinsley and Graceland. They went and gathered me up some little broken branches. They were all kind of all over the yard there, and I needed something to start our fire with. And so I had them grab all those little branches, bring them to me. Those branches were dead, dry, good fire starters. But at one point, they abided, is that a word? Abode in the tree. Okay, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. They were in the tree, and they got their nutrients, and they got their life-sustaining help from that tree. But when they fell, when they were broken off, when they were fallen off of the tree, they then died. You see, the very same is true. We are in Christ. He is in us, And we can do nothing if we're not connected to the tree. You see, we don't save ourselves, it is Him. And what great consolation there is in knowing that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Listen, our salvation does not come through worldly prominence. It does not come through prestige. It doesn't come through power. It comes solely through our position in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he discovered this in Philippians chapter number 3. I've got it written so you don't have to turn there. But Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 9, he says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith." You see, our position, it is a godly position. And the truth of our position, Jesus reveals this. He says in verse Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us." That means made alive us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and has made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." When you put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, you are placed into the family of God. You're placed into His very family. And see, whenever someone is not as sure of their salvation, they don't feel as if they are in the family. It's almost like I equate this to the young man that is interested in the daughter, okay, at home. And he goes and starts dating the daughter, and it's the visit to go visit the family of the daughter, okay? You everybody on my street? He's welcome, but he's not in the family. I know how my father-in-law treated me. I mean, I was welcome. I ate at their table, but there was a time that I had to go. Couldn't stay there. Couldn't live there. I wasn't in the family. He still treats me like that. No, I'm just playing. But now we go visit, I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm sitting at the table. I'll stay in his house. I may even sleep in his very bed because I'm in the family. You see the difference? I know that I'm in the family. I'm assured of that. And the same is true with someone that is saved, but they are not assured of that. They don't really know where they fit in. Am I in the family or am I not? You see, you're put in the family of God. When you are saved, you are placed in the family of God. You are forever His child, and the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, lives in your heart. Listen, your standing in Christ Jesus merits your salvation. He stands on your behalf. If it were not for Jesus, we would have never had a chance to get to the Father. So, salvation. His blood, it brings us into a rightful position with the Father. So we see that it's a guaranteed promise. We see that it's a godly position. But notice last of all, notice the great possession. Eternal life is a present possession. It's not something that we'll possess down the road. I'm thankful that we'll spend eternity in heaven, but you are eternally saved today. It is a present position. The Bible says there in Ephesians, He's already seeing us sitting in heavenly places. You see, as a result of our godly position in Christ Jesus, it will be evident that our lives have been changed, and possessing eternal life offers two powerful truths. First of all, let me give them to you quickly. Notice, first of all, a divine change. A divine change. You see, possessing eternal life means having a changed life. Listen, if there is never any evidence, I worry about people that are saved, but there's never any change in their life. This easy believism, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Listen, it's good for reporting numbers, but it has never saved anyone. And listen, it's so important that we deal with people properly here. Whenever we deal with them at an invitation, when we deal with children down in super church, it's very important that we deal with them and make sure they understand. It is simple. Salvation is simple. Jesus says you must come as a little child, and sometimes we complicate that. But they still must come and understand and believe in their heart by faith. You see, but after salvation, there must be an evident change in that child of God's life. You see, whenever the prodigal son come back to the father, he didn't stay the way that he came home. He cleaned him up. He gave him a new robe. He gave him a new ring. He brought him into the father's house. He didn't allow him to stay the way that he came. You see, a genuine believer of Christ is transformed from his old life. As our text in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, what does that mean? New friends, could be. New family, church family. I mean, a new future, new outlook on life. I mean, all of that is new. All things are new. Listen, when you're saved, you've been set free from your sins, from habits, from addictions that used to control your mind and body. All of those they're old things. They should be passing away. And all new things should be coming new. You see, His nature, Jesus' nature has changed you, and now you should be walking in His likeness. You see, being saved does not mean that you're perfect. It doesn't. Just ask my wife. However, it does mean that you attempt to follow Jesus Christ and the pattern that He has set out. And when you follow His pattern and you live like Jesus and you stay close to this book, you will find yourself sinning less and less and less. It's just the truth of the matter. And we wonder why someone can't ever get victory, why they always struggle. Chances are they're not living close to the Father. They're not allowing old things to pass away, and they're not staying in this book. You see, as we talked about even Sunday night about mentoring our mind, when we have those influences on our mind, that hinders us from growing in the Lord. And so when you get saved, when you're assured of your salvation, there's a great possession. And yes, eternal life instantly. You are saved and you are eternal being today. Okay? But with that comes a divine change. You are advancing towards the very image of your Heavenly Father. You see, so a divine change. Number two, a destined course. Possessing eternal life does not affect our present. Does not only affect our present, it also determines our future. The Apostle Peter gives this encouraging word about heaven. He says this, in 1 Peter 1, verse number 4, he says, we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed unto you in the last time. Listen, heaven is the reward for the believer. Heaven is a place where sin and sorrow and sickness and struggles and sadness, they can't enter. It's the great city of God. It's a place where His power and His peace and His promises and His people dwell. It's heaven. Don't it sound wonderful? For the child of God, it's our eternal home. We ought to rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice that we're just passing through. We're just pilgrims in a foreign land. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Listen, one day I'm going to be called to my heavenly home, whether through the rapture or through death. But my eternal life starts the moment I was saved. Listen, God wants us to have full assurance about going to heaven. We must trust in His Word. We must believe in His witness. And certainly, you can. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Listen, if you're doubting tonight that you're saved, listen, go back to the place where God gave your sin. You realized you were a sinner. And you did, and you took God at His word and said, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I asked you to forgive me. Relive that and find out if you are saved. If you took God at His word and you did what He said you must do, then friend, you're saved. And because of that, there will begin to be a divine change. Maybe you don't feel saved tonight because you kind of just left it at salvation. Listen, there must be a gradual growing. It's time to advance. This is your new life. New life in Christ assurance. You can know. And it's not God's intention. He's not the author of confusion. It's not His intention for us to just live doubting our way through life. I can pillow my head at night. Tonight I will. Pillow my head, satisfied knowing that if I die in my sleep, I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything that Jonathan Robertson done, but what I did, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here tonight, that is your greatest need. If you've never put your faith and trust in Him, you never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you are a sinner and you need to be saved. If you've never been saved tonight, that's your greatest need, and I trust that you'll do that tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed,